But isn't Article 5, con, really the answer? Or is there a reason for Americans who consider themselves to be liberty-minded and constitutionalists to be very weary about this idea? I believe there is. I'll tell you why right after this. The destruction of constitutional liberties and endless foreign wars. The voice of the American people silenced while lawmakers simply enrich themselves and the political class. Ben Swan. It isn't about left versus right. No. The real fight in America is liberty versus tyranny. At BenSwan.com, we are breaking the right paradigm. We know that the American two-party system is broken, and that to restore American liberty means to restore your rights as an individual. At BenSwan.com, we cover stories that the national media simply won't touch. From the National Defense Authorization Act and indefinite detention, to nullification, drone strikes, the militarization, police, Tony Cap. We're not afraid to stand up for the rights of the people. We are the face of new media. BenSwan.com. It's where humanity is greater than politics. The idea that that Article 5 Constitutional Convention sure is exciting. But is it also dangerous? Well, it certainly could be. The real danger for liberty-minded Americans is that the current climate among lawmakers, both on the national and the state level, is a climate that has very little regard for personal, individual, and natural rights. Take, for instance, what's gone on in our nation for the past year since September 11, 2001. Fourth Amendment due process rights have been suspended by Congress. Executive branch claims it has the power to indefinitely detain U.S. citizens until the end of the war on terror. Speaking of war, Congress hasn't had a constitutionally declared war since World War II. The Second Amendment right to keep in arms is infringed more and more daily. So here's the question. If an Article 5 constitutional convention is held, what will it do to force Congress and the President to obey the Constitution, not obeying it now? The other danger is if new amendments are added to attempt to strip constitutional that we exist. For stories that affect your liberty, you can find me online at BenSwan.com. That's BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics.
With new and ever-increasing health threats on the rise, there has been a more crucial time to support your immune system. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary new silver solution that is clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver, and is powerful enough to help protect you and your family from deadly virus, bacteria, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, the effective and perfect everyday use inside the body as well as out. The Science Digest Journal says, silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern science. Supernatural Silver is the number 1000 for improved health and immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver can change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away? Called sake public safety. Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get and free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and free by filling out a short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. To AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowner.org. Gun owner members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to join GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to bear arms. Contribute our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Sign the
time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take echo back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before too late, there's long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. May God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Wind Tower. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this favorite day of Ron McDonald and I's week, Monday, or the day after Sunday and the one before Tuesday. Ron McDonald, are you with me?
With you. I'm here in mind, body, and soul. Maybe not, okay. But I'm here otherwise.
All right, well, I'll have to check the mind part of myself. Let me see if my mouth can catch up brain today. We have a little different program today. I have online with us, and let me do the visit here of telling you who and what, where, why, and how. Karen Hudes. She studied law at Yale University and economics at the University of Indiana. Worked in the U.S. Export-Import Bank of the U.S. from 1995. And in the legal department of the World Bank from 1996 to 2007. Established a non-governmental organization committee of international law section of the American Association and the Committee on Multilateralism and the Accountability of Internationalizations of the American Branch of the International Law Association. Well, in 07, she noticed some things wrong and she started talking. She started asking questions. Well, what did she blow the whistle on? Back in 07, she warned the U.S. Treasury Department and U.S. Congress that the U.S. would lose its right to appoint the of the World Bank if the current American president of the World Bank did not play by the rules. This was a 66-year-old Rutgers gentleman agreement. Europe appoint the managing director of the IMF and the U.S. would appoint the World Bank president. Now all that came to an end in 2010. And what we're going to do is pick up the story from Karen Hudes. By the way, her website, kahudes.net, or I'll back that up. I'm actually on another page of hers. I do believe, Karen, is that not the correct website?
That is the correct website.
All right. Welcome to the program this afternoon. By the way, when I spoke to you earlier, I was in such a hurry and a rush, I had forgotten to say, I hope your mother's doing well.
She's doing fantastic. I just came back from a visit with her.
I understood you were there, and I didn't get a chance to ask you about it. My bad. I'm glad to hear the response to that question. Karen Hudes. You brought up, you started blowing the whistle, you started seeing things go wrong, and started to ask questions. Now, would it to our benefit for listener understanding to cover that first in 07, or do we need to jump in the professor's wayback machine and go a ways back to get the background?
Well, it would be helpful if I gave people a little idea of what I was doing there and why I was there, and it wasn't that I started blowing the whistle back in 2007. It was that I had been blowing the whistle ever since I got there, because the man that brought me there was a lawyer by the name of Ibrahim Shihada, was Egyptian, and he had been general counsel of the Organization for Petroleum Exporting Countries before he came to the World Bank. And he had interviewed me to get an idea of whether I was going to do what I think he brought me there to do. And so I was being vetted for the position. My position was to try to end the corruption. And so I had been, getting the lay of the land for the first 10 years I was there. He assigned me to Jordan and Yemen, which is a kind of a funny thing to send a woman to, never mind a Jewish woman. Right? But he understood that I was about development because that I am all about, and that's what I have stayed loyal to. So a lot of people, when you say somebody's a whistleblower, they think of, a squealer. But I wasn't squealing. I was doing my job as a lawyer in an organization that's issuing bonds. You have to tell everybody what's going on inside those organizations, the securities laws. The financial statements have to be accurate.
Are you alluding to transparency there on the books, everybody to see and read if they care to do so?
That's right. And there's a special kind of audit called internal control over financial reporting. That means that the board knows what's going on. And I saw that the cover-up to the board. And so there were all kinds of cover-ups going on. And so I just, there was never a point in time that I was not blowing the whistle. It's just that the terms of reference for a lawyer working for an organization is you have to go up the corporate ladder step by step, which is what I did. I was documenting the fact that the information was not flowing and that anybody who tried to get the information to flow was getting canned, and you can't do that. So there had been a pretty extensive series of investigations coming from the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. Senator Lugar was heading that, and he had passed a law that said anybody inside the organization was trying to get information out there where it had to go should have arbitrate because they had set up an internal court system which was rigged. The judges on that court were given special perks. They were given arbitration, which is very lucrative if you're a lawyer or a judge. So I knew that things were wrong, and I had actually gotten a very good understanding of that even before I went in there because there was a lawyer named Aaron Brockes, who was an old man by the time I got to know him. He was in his 80s, and he had retired from the bank, but he was there when the original treaty to the World Bank was negotiated. He was a young lawyer then, and he gave me the operating manual, and he also told me that when Robert McNamara came to the World Bank as the president, he said, when somebody from the Pentagon comes to the World Bank as its president, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
So I was waiting. When Paul Wolfowitz came to the World, I was waiting for him. So it's, you know, it's easier to understand me not as a whistleblower, but as a sting operation. That's what I am.
Well, and obviously, you know, when an attorney or a lawyer is hired by a firm, or in this case, the International Monetary Fund, correct?
That's the sister organization. But actually, there was a lawyer who worked for the IMF who had known my law professor. His name was Holder. He had been deputy general counsel. And I went to him in the middle of all flailing around. And he said, Karen, he says, you can't win, you know. He said, but I'll write you a nice recommendation letter. Which, you know, became part of the documentation that I, you know, you go to Yale Law School, one of the things that you take away from that experience is how to document. And so everybody that I was dealing with knew that I was documenting things. And I was, you know,
But Karen, what did they think? She's our person, so let her document and discover whatever she wants. Don't we have an attorney-client privilege that she can't go forth with any information that we don't want her to? In other words, didn't they think that they controlled you?
That doesn't apply when there's a cover-up. When there's a cover-up, it's your duty to expose it.
Okay, I understand. Let's take the break here. We're speaking today with Karen Hudes. KAHUDES.net is the website. We'll be in through.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, printman, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com. How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin, Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the current process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, 877-605-9200. I'm for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned stem cell expert and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little recovery time. Dr. David Block and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for me and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. For listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Okay, we are back speaking today with Karen Hudis. Karen, you weren't necessarily a whistleblower. You were doing your job, reporting to the people that you're supposed to be reporting to. And before the break, you mentioned another lawyer by the name of Holder. What was the man's first name?
Eric.
You mean the Attorney General of the United States that's presently at the White House counseling our president?
I went head-to-head to that guy, and he looked big time. I'd like to just tell your listeners where we're headed, because some of them might get a little lost in the nitty-gritty. So let me just do that. It'll take about 2 sentences.
Please.
You know the Wizard of Oz? And you've got Toto the dog that's pulling the curtains back. See this little old guy, and he says to Dorothy, ignore me, just keep looking at the screen, the projection screen. That little old man has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's going on? When Frank Baum that story, he didn't write it for children. He was writing it about the monetary system, and he knew just exactly what he was talking about. And so what has happened is that the people who have grouped together, and we call ourselves the World Bank whistleblowers, many of us argue with that term. They say we were just doing our job. We were insiders, and we were thrown out illegally. And Congress, when they appropriated money for the World Bank, they put a rider in there. They said, you don't get the first penny, and the effects of retaliation against whistleblowers is eliminated. Because they got pretty mad. I mean, we, as I said, we went up the corporate ladder. But let's go back to that picture. So the projection screen, what is the projection screen? That is the mainstream media. So when you turn on your news and you listen to what the television broadcaster to say to you, that's when you open your newspaper. That is owned by the group that thinks people are too stupid to find out that they were controlling information. And I didn't understand that either, but it took me about 5 years to find the main, to get off the main media and to start going to the alternative media, because I just couldn't believe that the place was that corrupt. We are dealing with a situation that people, unless they have lived through what we World Bank whistleblowers have lived through, and we have to tell you our story, you wouldn't believe it, because it looks good, and the reason it looks good is because it's all propaganda. And that's what happened with the business about sarin gas in Syria. The people who have been controlling the news mm-hmm. wanted everybody to think that there needed to be a war in Syria. Why did they want to do that? Because they wanted to earn money on the replacing all of the broken armaments. Everyone you find is a banker war. And when they have control, the media can just get their way. When Syria didn't happen, that's a pretty good indicator that we World Bank whistleblowers have created a coalition. And that is one of the best things about the World Bank. It's a knowledge bank. And in 2004, a political scientist named Jacek Kugler came to the World Bank with something called Power Transition Model. This came out of the Defense Department. He had developed it there, but there's ways of taking the knowledge of political science and using different modeling tools. So he was able to bring me a modeling tool that was free from the legal copyright that the Defense Department had. And in 2004, I went together with Jacek Kugler to Ghana, and we looked at why a law on freedom of information wasn't getting passed. And then I said, would you give me a freebie? Would you model rule of law inside the World Bank? And he did. And that model I've been working from. I didn't realize that the corruption was world corruption, although since the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund are at the very heart of the international finance system, it's kind of, a no-brainer that that's going to be a model, an accurate model. And if you can solve the problem of transparency inside the Bretton Woods institutions, and that's another word for the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, because the ski resort in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, that's where the treaty for the World Bank and International Monetary Fund was negotiated by 44 countries. That was in 1944. But anyway, to answer your first question, why did these people think that I was not going to manage to get rule of law inside the World Bank? Because they knew something that I didn't know at the beginning, and that is how deep the corruption extended. It extended very, very deep. There's been three mathematicians at the Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich, Switzerland, who took on who owns the companies, the 43,000 companies whose shares are traded on the international capital market. And what they found out was, these banks that are too big to fail, they're one bank. They're all interconnected. They take the same directors and put them on the board. So we're not dealing with what we're dealing with is a group that thinks they're above the law. They think they're so economically powerful that the legislatures in the countries are irrelevant. But what they didn't count on was that there could be a coalition of all of the legislatures. And that is what happened, because I had that power transition model. I was working together with the World Bank whistleblowers, and some of them were deliberately put inside the World Bank from their government. So their governments have been helping us all this time. I had hoped that that was the case, but now I know it for sure. So what you're looking at is something called the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. These countries have now decided that they're going to create their own development bank. They have created their own credit rating agency called the Universal Credit Rating Group. And that group is ready to downgrade the U.S. credit rating, except that they know that this group is working together with all of the different groups inside the United States that want their government back. They're not going to state capture. State capture is what happens when a group like this group thinks that they are so powerful that everybody's going to be afraid of them. And everybody should be afraid of them. They kill with impunity. That's who killed John F. Kennedy. That's who killed Lincoln, because both of those presidents were trying to free the United States from this group of bankers.
It is my understanding with Lincoln, he was going to get from the New York banks to finance the war between the states, and they were ready to give him any amount of money that he needed. There was one caveat. The usury on that was 25%.
I have news for your listeners. The Civil War was created by the bankers. They were sweet-talking the states and the South.
Shock of all shocks, you mean to tell me it wasn't slavery, Karen? Tell you what, we're coming up on a breakdown. How long do I have before a break? About a minute. When we get back, Karen, I want to go into the subject that you dropped the bombshell on me today. Folks, in 2008, mortgage-backed securities, rewriting, selling, and then insuring against losses. Do you think that just happened back in 2008? Are we talking multi-million dollar, multi-billion dollar, or are we talking multi-trillion dollar ripoffs that happened back in the early 30s? We'll explore those questions with Karen Hudis when we get back. By the way, Karen, in the movie Wizard of Oz, I'm assuming here that you played the part of Toto.
Yes.
And you pulled the curtain back. But Dorothy, the cinematographers out in Hollywood, when they did the color version, they realized that the silver slippers didn't go with the gold or yellow brick road. So they made them ruby. They were supposed to be gold and silver.
World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, David Steenblok, D.O., research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republiccasting.org.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got them. StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone for who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise it cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent. If you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesindebt.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steenblok has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steenblok and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Currently using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenblok is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1060 today to receive more information.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 news was groundbreaking? If you're most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to DerbeckProtocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Hudis is our guest today, and we are talking about, well, let me not be remiss. Let me put out that website again. It's KAHUDES.net. My microphone just did something very interesting. I think it's telling me to shut up. These are words that are not supposed to be spoken on it, but we're going to anyhow. Darren, you and I were talking before the program today, and you dropped a little bombshell on me that there was not millions, not billions, but there were trillions that came up missing, oh, some 70-plus years ago.
Yes.
Pray tell.
This was in the 30s. There was a fellow named Yamashita. He was a general from Japan, and he went around collecting up gold, warning them that a war was coming and the gold would not be safe. And whenever he took the gold from them, he gave them a receipt. The receipt was from the reserve system. It was a gold-denominated bond, and it carried interest at 4%. Now, these people might have wondered why on earth the U.S. Federal Reserve was issuing these bonds. Some of the bonds were actually from other countries and denominated in other countries' currencies. But when you add them up, it adds up to $210 trillion, plus there's all that interest that has been compounding. And that adds up to quadrillions of dollars, not trillions of dollars. So whenever those banksters say that they're owed money on the country's debts, guess what? You can offset that and the money that they owe the people who they collected the gold from. And there's a lot more gold than people know about. There was 600,000 metric tons of gold that was in the Vatican. And there was all the gold.
Wait a minute. You did say 600,000.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Yes. And I know where that gold is now. It's a lot of it is in the Central Bank of the Philippines. Some of it is buried in the Philippines in places where I know. Some of it is in the Union Bank of Switzerland. And the person who got authorized signature authority to withdraw that gold and to give it to the beneficiaries, it's in a trust. It's held in for the people on the earth. And the bankers are not honoring that sure.
Okay. I'm going to need a little bit more clarification on this. So we have the Japanese fellow, I'm assuming pre-World War II, running around and issuing or getting Federal Reserve to issue these gold bonds. And all this gold was taken into safekeeping, supposedly. And it's being... I've got a little fantasy playing out in my head. We have pilots to listen to this network that do a lot of charter service. We can warm up a jet, be in the Philippines in about 16 hours. Ready to go? Let's go get some of that gold. What is stopping what you've been bringing to light, before we get into anything else here, what is stopping? You brought suit. You asked, you did the chairman thing, you did the right things, asked the right questions of the right people, of the right departments, and you got absolutely nowhere.
Let me tell you what happened to that lawsuit. It was settled. It was settled by 188 ministers of finance.
Now, let me stop you. Why would they have settled on a case, first, if it was a weak case or whatever, but they settled on that case. Why did they settle?
Because, don't forget, there's those securities laws, and they themselves are on the hook. They are not accurate financial information to all of the people in the countries. And the credit rating for the World Bank was on the line because you had an unresolved corporate cover-up. Think Enron. It's Enron inside the World Bank. And I had all the documentation. Let me tell you how this all started. I was assigned to the Philippines, and there was a president there, Estrada, who ended up getting fired for corruption. The second largest bank in the Philippines, Philippine National Bank, was receiving a World Bank financing. And the conditions were that they were supposed to sell the shares that were owned by the government to an independent investor. This was at the end of the East Asia financial crisis. And what happened was this business about transparency. The finance laws said that if the company sold shares 10%, they had to tell, you know, had to disclose this. And so they broke the securities laws. A man who owned Philippine Airlines, Lucio Tan, ended up buying shares of the Philippine National Bank without disclosing that he's buying more than 10% of the shares. So he broke the securities laws, and the fact that he bought those shares didn't meet the conditions. We wanted a transparent sale of shares. That was not meeting conditions. So he was breaking the conditionality, and I wrote a letter to the Philippine government saying, "Dear Philippine government, you're not going to get the World Bank money because you're not meeting the conditions." And I handed this letter to the man who was in charge of the lending program for the World Bank. He was the country director. I said, "Send it to the government." And he didn't send it to the government. He had me reassigned.
I was just going to say.
He had me assigned. Now, that didn't work. So I went up the corporate ladder, and I went to Law, who was the general counsel inside the World Bank, and I we've got to cover up to the board. You've got to tell the board that there's this problem here in the Philippines. Well, he didn't do that. He put me on probation. And then there was a run on the bank, and the government of the Philippines had to bail out the bank for $500 million. At the end of the project, by the way, they tried to disperse the loan, and I went to the chin meeting, and I said to the man who, you know, who was the boss of the country, the vice president, I said, "Don't you overrule this and try to disperse it meeting the conditions, because I'm going to go right back up to the board and I'm going to tell them that you're dispersing loans without meeting the conditions. You have to get a waiver from the board." So that meant the loan didn't get dispersed. We canceled $200 million. There was a run on the bank for $500 million. There was matching financing from Japan for $200 million. That's $900 million worth of problem loan. And at the end of the project, the evaluation department is supposed to give a rating for the World Bank performance. And they gave the World Bank supervision a satisfactory rating. So I wrote a memo to the evaluation department, and I said, "You are lying to the board. You are doing cover-up." And that's the core of my case, okay. Was reporting a cup of corruption.
Okay, so the Philippines National Bank, okay, the government of the Philippines loaned them $493 million. Let's round it off. Hate those little straggly numbers. Let's just say, you know, $500 million, half $1 billion. Well, the World Bank was, they put $200 million in, and how did we arrive at a $493 million loan? How did we get to almost $1 billion? You said $900 million and what?
Well, what happened was the government of the Philippines had to bail out the bank,
okay,
because the depositors were nervous about having their money in a bank that was controlled. I forgot to tell you, Lucio Tan, the guy who bought the shares, he owned Philippine Airlines that was a borrower in default on its loan. So if a guy who's managing a bank is also in default to the bank, that's going to make the depositors a little nervous. That's why they took their money out.
You know, in fractionalized world, the last thing that any bank wants is depositors showing up at the window going, "Can I have my money? Can I have money today?" Now, I can remember It's a Wonderful Life. I can remember it was a little community bank. It was a savings and loan, as a matter of fact. And, well, that was during dark times, and everybody showed up. Well, the deal was arranged, and people don't have to take money out. What do you need today? And the bank continued, or the savings and loan. What saw Karen happen in 1999? And by February of 1999, everybody was talking about, oh, the world's going to come to an end. You know, the traffic lights aren't going to work. The change has not been worked into the computer system, so might go kaflooey at 11:59:59, click over to the year 2000. Well, by February, and nobody wanted to believe this, Karen, by February here in the United States, all the banking, all the main banks, had redone their infrastructure, redone their computers, the mainframes, their databases, everything. Everything was good to go by February of 1999. Hence, we did not have unrest in the citizenry of this country. and Y2K slipped off into the sunset. But had they not done that and people panicked and showed up at the bank, you and I would probably be having a different conversation today. We'll be back in three.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more certain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival depends.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem supplement, creating birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formulas for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, Dad, you're sounding a lot better. How have you been since your heart attack?
Well, son, I'm feeling better. Since your sister ordered me a bottle of Heart Drop 2000's Extendovite for my heart.
Heart Drop? Extendovite? What's that?
Well, it's just seven herbs that are approved for helping keep my heart healthy.
That's great, Dad. I was worried about you. I am so glad it's helping.
So am I, son. I'm very glad your sister got it for me. Wish I had known about it before my heart attack.
Yeah, but would you have taken it, though?
You know, I'm not sure if I would have. But I'm awful glad I'm taking it now. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plus, colon enhancer, art selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitae, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free e-newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
We are back. Our guest today, Karen, can you hold over a second hour?
Well, just for a bit.
Okay.
I wish I could, but...
I understand. This was on short notice, and I appreciate you coming to the program today. Ron McDonald, author of the book, They Own It All, Including You, by Way of Toxic Currency. Ron, do you have any questions for our guest?
Oh, I do. You know, Karen, I've been scrutinizing these certificates originating from the Philippines, $3 trillion United States uncut dollars, equaling to 5,000 metric tons of gold, and in Switzerland. How did you come by these? Why is it such... Ronald Reagan is the one endorsing them, and he was, what, president in 81 to, I think, 89 or something like that?
Actually, 88.
88?
Yep.
I mean, how did you arrive at all this this evidence?
Aren't those beautiful?
They are. Let
me tell everybody what we're dealing with here. We are dealing with the very heart of the international financial system, and the reason I have those documents is because of a German banker lawyer named Wolfgang Strack. And Wolfgang and I are telling these bankers that they have got to release the cut dollars and back them with the gold that John F. Kennedy had agreed would be made available to back United States currency. John F. Kennedy had signed something called the Green-Hilton Agreement 10 days before he was murdered. And just so your listeners understand what this means, when currency and paper currency is issued directly by the Treasury Department, you don't have to pay interest on your debt. This Federal Reserve system is nothing but a big scam. That's unconstitutional. There's no reason to have those people there. When they were brought in 1913, the Congress was on break. There were few people there. They snuck it through. And everybody thinks, oh, you know, it's a federal group. That's our central bank. No, it's a scam. Those are privately owned banks, and those people have no right to interest our national debt. It's a scam. And so what they're doing is they're bleeding our country dry. When you pay your taxes, you know how you send your tax return one place and you send your check somewhere else? Let me tell you what happens to that check. It leaves the country. It goes to London, and they take their credit, the banksters in London, and then the rest of it goes to the Vatican. It sounds like I'm dreaming, like making this up, but there's something else that a growing number of Americans are understanding, and that is in 1871, we got a second secret constitution. This happened that because Benjamin Franklin had negotiated the debt from the banksters back in the Treaty of Paris, and he got a period of tension, which ended in 1870. And that's when the banksters came and said, okay, well, we'll just take our pound of flesh. What was their pound of flesh? This second secret constitution, where the United States government was turned into a corporation. The states were turned into a corporation. And ever since then, when we go to court, we're not looked at like we're citizens. We're there in a kind of a charade where the judges are just treating us as if we're debtors, as if we're things. And, you know, it just goes downhill from there.
Yeah. Karen, one of the other things I'm noticing, on these certificates, of course, they're authenticated by the Philippines, written up on the Philippines, and names the United States as having deposits in Switzerland. Where is the evidence Switzerland recognizing these certificates?
We have as many documents as you need to show that this is authorized, that there is an authorized signatory who has the right to withdraw the uncut dollars and issue them.
Well, that would be unique. I mean, that would be the completion of this one certificate. Any of them.
Of course. I'll tell you how they all happened. Ferdinand Marcos was the original trustee when this was set up. The Vatican sent 600,000 metric tons of gold to the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And during the war, what they did was took this gold, and they shipped it to Singapore, brought it back, and then they put it in a special deposit that was not going to come due for 50 years. Why did they do that?
Do you know the timeline on this?
Yes, I do. I'm telling you, this happened during during the war, right after the war. That's why the World War II would have ended a lot earlier, except that the Kurds were trying to get back. They were going apoplectic because of what Ferdinand Marcos had done. And then he put it in these deposits that could not be withdrawn. He tied it up for 50 years because, on law, if you have a claim and you have not been able to do anything with that claim for 50 years, it gets extinguished. So he was cutting off the right of any other claimant to that gold, and he put it in a for the benefit of humanity. And John Kennedy knew about it, and he went and he negotiated that the United States would get a piece of that gold to underpin U.S. dollars, and this was going to break the stranglehold of the bankers. And that's why Kennedy was assassinated. And what we're doing now is we are finishing the unfinished business for Jeff Kennedy. We have all of the legal documents lined up, and we're just pushing it through. And I asked the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, at a town hall meeting December 2nd, I said, you know, we have the legal authority to accomplish what John F. Kennedy was doing when he was murdered, and this is what we need for a strong United States. Otherwise, our paper currency is crash. And your job is to make the United States militarily strong. The United States cannot be militarily strong with a weak currency that's on its last leg. Why aren't you using these uncut dollars? And he never answered that question.
By the way, just a little background here, Karen. I knew the man, him, one other fellow, got Ferdinand Marcos out of the Philippines, did it through the Agriculture Department, and that man's name, if he's still alive, is Abner Dethridge. Those funds were to be moved, his personal funds, out of the Philippines into Mexico. Marcos wanted him in U.S. banks, and he offered a $25 million reward to Abner if he would get this done, and he's not going to do that. I know the guy, and what were the reasons we were given why Ferdinand Marcos had to go down in the Philippines and look at his wife and just lavishly spending on all those damn shoes? That's all we heard.
Don't forget that the mainstream media is there to tell the banker's side of the story. That's all you're hearing. And the thing that I just found out was Ferdinand Marcos was absolutely brilliant. He had a few tricks up his sleeve, and one of the tricks was he sent a double off. You know, the United States fomented unrest, just like they did in the Ukraine recently.
Mm-hmm.
Those were paid mercenaries that were out there demonstrating to try to destabilize the place. And then they thought that they had flown Ferdinand Marcos off in a helicopter. So it was Ferdinand Marcos's double. Fooled them.
By the way, up to speed, present-day corporate news reporting, What was the narrative on Fox News today? It was everything but the crisis in the Ukraine. They danced away from this. I mean, it's going by the way of the dodo bird, like Iran is attempting to get nuclear weapons. Syria, Assad is bad. He's got to go. Those disappeared. All of a sudden, we're cooking up a new crisis around Crimea and Ukraine and Russia. Putin is not budging. He goes, you know what? I'm looking at the banking. I really don't want that. I'm looking at the military being parked on my borders through NATO. You know what? I think I'm going to sit this one out. And stuck his tongue out at the United States, and all of a sudden, the bank-owned media in this country, those stories up and disappeared like a cow fart in a Texas windstorm. We've got, Karen, we got to take the top of the hour break here. I hope you can spend at least 10 more minutes on the other side with us. We appreciate short notice, and you know we're going to have you. But for right now, hang on, top of the hour. We'll be back.
With financial